Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Nun Ted Amud Bet, six lines from the bottom. The Amar Rava, Hayulo Chamisha Asar Tlaim, he's got 15 sheep. Lo Yomar Ebror Asara, Vachnisem the deer. Don't say you're going to take 10 out of the 15 and put them into the corral. You'll tell Mehem Echad, and then I'll take Meiser from those 10. Vashar Turim, and the remainder will be exempt, because you only have 5, you can't do anything with 5, there's no Meiser Behema. Ela, Konsan the deer, you put him into the corral, omotzi asara, and then you allow 10 to go out, notal mehem achat. Then you take 1 off of them, v'ha'shar mitzterfim legoren acher. And then the remainder can be put into a different goren. Now, over here, Rashi in the Ktav Yad and Rashi that we have above, this miyuchas, the Rashi, have a slightly different take on it. Rashi in the Ktav Yad says, if roar, I'm going to pick 10 out of the 15, he says, La mishum kuhushim ushmenim. It's not because he wants to pick the worst ones and put them in and then keep the fat ones for himself. He says that's not the reasoning over here. Although if you look in Rashi up on the top of Samach HaManalef, he says, Hakuhushim. He picks the 10 from the kuhushim and sticks them in. So the question here is, are there 2 problems here or is there only 1 problem? If it's 2 problems, the first problem is that he's being selective. And that he's putting the bad ones into the corral so that the Maaser Behema comes from the bad ones. And he's keeping the good ones from himself. So that's already 1 problem. The second problem is that if he only puts 10 into the corral, the other 5 are going to be Turim, which is not what we want in this case. And we'll explain that in a second. If you believe that he's not doing this with any nefarious intentions, and he simply just puts 10 in and keeps 5 out, then there's only 1 problem here, which is that he left the 5 out. And now, Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a bright that says something similar to what Rava just said. Habalu Chamisha Asar Tlaim, V.S. 15, Lo Yomar Evroa Asara, I'm going to pick 10 out of them, V'etol Mehem Echad, and I'll take Maaser Behema, V'sharp Turim, Ela Kuntzan the deer, put him into the corral, Umutzi Asara, then you let 10 come out, and Otel Mehem Echad, and then you take 1 off for Maaser Behema, V'sharp Mitzterfim Legoren Acher, that the remainder then join another goren. In the Miuchas Rashi here it says, De'ena goren kaveya el ledavara ru'u de maser. V'hana chamisha lav b'nei asurei ninhu. So the goren only has impact when they can be nesar in that period of time. We said in the Mishnah that you have, the year is the real cutoff. You have to have all the animals from the same year. So in a different year, midoraita, you can't bring Maaser Behema from them. But we said that the Chachamim had these 3 granot that imposed certain times in the year where we have cutoffs that say that here's a cutoff, and based on that cutoff, you're gonna now be chayav in Maaser Behema, and that's as if you crossed over the year. But then the Mishnah says at the end, even if you do cross over the granot, they can't be mitzareit. And what the Brayta is saying and what Rashi is indicating over here is that the ein hagorin koveya el davar ruy lemaser. The goren is only impactful with something that is ra'uy the maser, with something that could have maser taken from it. So the difference, or what we don't like, when he puts the 10 in and he leaves 5 out, what ends up happening is he has the 10 that create the maser be'ema, and that's 1 out of those 10. So that's what he was supposed to do, but when he leaves the 5 out, the 5 now are p'turim, because they are considered to be independent or separate, the 5. That's why they are p'turim. That tour is coming because he says I have 5 that I can't connect with any other 5, and so that's why they are p'turim. On the other hand, if you bring all 15 into the goren, then the first 10 again go towards the Maaser Behema, and you have 1 out of 10. So you have the same Maaser Behema. But the other 5 are now impacted by the goren. Those 5 are impacted by the goren, which is the rule is once you cross over the goren, you're not allowed to shecht them, you're not allowed to sell them. And now he becomes bound to keep those 5 around until he gets another 5, even though it's past the goren. So that's the difference in the outcomes over here. If we let him put 10 in and keep 5 out, the other 5 are now turim, and the goren doesn't affect them, and you can go and shecht them, you can sell them, they're all independent. The first 10 were subject to maaser, and so you have 1 maaser behema. In the situation where he puts all 15 in, you still result in 1 behema coming out as maaser, but the other 5 now are impacted by the goren. That means that those 5 now are locked in. You can't shecht them. You can't sell them. And now you can join them together, or you have to wait for another 5 to show up, even in the next goren, to join them together to make it Maaser Behema. So that's the key difference. What's the status of the remaining 5? It's the status of the remaining 5. They're patur. That means that you can do whatever you want with them. You can shecht them. You can sell them. It's as if they never crossed over a goren. because they were never brought into the corral in a meaningful way where it could have resulted in Meiser. And so for there, the Peturim, the Gamrei, it would be the equivalent if you had five before a Gorin, and there was nobody else around to put them together with. There you said, we said, you can shech them, you can sell them, because there's no Meiser Veima ever going to be relevant to them. And then, if you bring them into the corral, 15, even though those latter five are not going to become Meiser Veima now, they are affected by the Gorin, because they were in there with a group of 10, so we don't know which five are going to stay and which 10 are going to come out. That affects them, makes them subject to the Gorin. No more selling them, no more shechting them. And then you got to wait for another five to put them together to take them out. So that's what's being said here by Rabba. Don't split them out. And again, there could be two problems. One problem is don't divide them up and put all the weak ones in. Keep the good ones for yourself. That could be one problem if you think that's an additional issue. Even without that issue, there's a secondary issue, which is we don't want you exempting yourself from Meiser Behema by keeping them out. Because if you do that, then you miss the Goren, and they're not a Surim Bishkita and Mechira, and then you don't have to put them together with another group of five. If you put them into the Goren, then even though, again, there's not going to be any more Meiser Behema now, it will compel you later on to have these five join with another five, because you're going to be a Surim Bishkita and Mechira until you take care of those five. That's the Chiddush of Rava, and that's what's corroborated by the Braita over here. Ba'atanya, isn't there a Braita that says, Tisha Asar Tlaim? You have 19 sheep. Lo yomar evrur asara ve'tomehem echad. Don't pull out 10 and then take my survey off of them. Ve'ashar p'turim. And then the remainder will be p'turim. Again, this is no different than our case before. 15 wasn't relevant in the sense of 15 being a significant number. The only thing that's relevant about 15 is that you have 10 that'll be my survey ma, and then you have additional ones that don't add up to 10. So 15 or 19 won't make any difference because either way you don't meet the second 10 that you would need. Ella kunsan nadir, umotzi asara. The right way to do it, like we said before, is to put them all 19 into the corral. Then take out 10, notel achad mehem, bashar turim. Oh, this is different than what we saw in the bright, that's different than what we saw from Rava. If we said if you put all 15 or 19 in, then the remaining 5 or the remaining 9, you have to wait to bring them together in a different go-round. Over here it's saying it doesn't matter whether you take out 10 and then leave the 9 out, or you put all 19 of them and take the 10 out, the remaining 9 are turim either way. This is against Rava's position. So Targama Rav Huna Bar Schora, Kamei de Rava Berigla. So Beregel, here you have two different interpretations. Rashi, or the Miuchas Rashi says, B'Shabbat Shlifnei Aregel. The Rigla is the Shabbat before the Regel itself. Judorshim Hilchot Aregel. Klamit of Shabbat, Shuva, Shabbat Agadol, the big drasha from the Rav, that's the Rigla, that's the way Rashi Miuchas, the Rashi says. Rashi in Taviyat says, the Shabbat Shosholim Bihilchot HaRegel, Lamed Yom Lifnei HaRegel. It's the Shabbat of the 30 days before the Regel, when they start the drashot about the Lochot of the Regel. So either way, we're talking about a very public type of address. Here, Rava's speaking, and all of a sudden we have a Braita that upends what Rava's saying with regards to Hilchot HaRegel. Interesting that this is part of the Ilchot HaRegel was the Meiser Behema, because obviously we said before, the Granot are done before the Regel, so that you facilitate the ability of Korbanot for the Regel. So these Halachot were important, and that was said before. When they discuss why the Shloshim Yom are relevant, is because the discussion is about the Korbanot. And Meiser Behema are part of the Korbanot that you're going to discuss for the Regel. Targama Ravuna Bar Schora Kamei de Rava Berigla. So Rav Huna Bar Schora came to defense of Rava to protect his position and says, Bedir, sheyesh lo shnei petachim askinan, dealing with a corral that has two exits from it, two egresses. Yatzu tet v'petach zeh, betet v'petach zeh. 9 exited from one door and 9 exited from the other door. Da'ichad, that remaining one that's in the corral, have a chazi lahocha or lahocha. It could go out either door, and it's ra'oi to go out on either door. And as we saw in yesterday's daf, that is what's called minyan hara'oi. If those that exit are considered as part of something that could have become 10, then they are now exempt from Meiser Behema in the future. You had 9 exit this side, 9 exit that side, you have 1 left in the middle, and we just saw the Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush of Rava, that not only does that work when it's the only one that could go out, even if it's optional, it could go out either way, it affects both of them, and both of them become a minyan haraoi. So therefore, since it's chazi l'ocha ulahocha, it exempts them. And that's why you're exempt over here. Elish leinei kagon, Why don't you give the answer like this? Shemana tish'a, he counted nine. V'chi mata asara, kare chad mireisha. That he had nine, he counted out nine, and then instead of going to number 10, when number 10 went through, he started again from number one. So he went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then he goes 1 through 10, and now he got... So the Gemara says, that doesn't work, kasavar asiri me'elav kadosh. That's because the 10th one is automatically kadosh. Irrespective of what you call the 10th one, we already saw this idea that when the 10th one exits, by definition, it's number 10. You can't change the fact that it's number 10. Even though you called it 1, it's still 10, and therefore it's going to be kadosh. And the remaining 9, depending on what you think here, it's not going to solve our problem here, but the remaining 9, according to Rava, should go to the Goren, and so therefore that's not going to solve your problem. And the Braita, why the Braita says Turim over here. Otherwise, what you would have thought, or the Gemara's Havamina here, is that when you planted the first 9, they were Minyan Ara'oi. That's why they're Turim. Then the second 10, the last one of the second 10 is going to be Kadosh. So even though you only had 19 here, the first 9 are Minyan Ara'oi, that could have been the 10th one, but you started from 1. And then you counted to 10, so the last one will be Kadosh, and the first 9 are Turim. Gemara says that doesn't work, because number 10 is automatically Kadosh, and the remaining 9 are not Turim, because they're not Minyan Ara'oi. Felish Lainay, why don't you say Kagon Begoren, Umanan Zugot Zugot? It's a case here where they're in the Goren and they're going out by pairs. Even though they're going out by pairs, you're supposed to count them as if they're going out Zeh Achar Zeh, as if they're going out one by one. Instead, he's counting them pair by pair. So in that case, what you would think is you counted the first 18 that went out in pairs. You counted 1, that was a pair of 2. Counted 2, that was another pair, you're up to 4 already. Then you're up to 6, is counted as 3. You got to 18, you're up to 9. Then you have now number 10, which it's a singleton, and we don't know which one it's going to belong to. You've counted 2 sets of 9, and now you have this last one coming in. In this case, you could have created a minyan hara'oi, which is you have 2 sets of 9 that exited. And since those 2 sets of 9 exited, number 10 is ra'oi to both of them. That's the way the Rashi... Yuchas the Rashi claims that it works. They have a minyan ra'oi of 9, minyan ra'oi of 9. They should both have been Turim. And number 10 belongs, Mimonav Shachas Kadosh, because it belongs to one of the 2 sets of 9. But both sets of 9 are Turim, because they were both minyan ha-ra'oi. That's the Havamina of the Gemara. According to Rashi in the Taviyat, it's not exactly that way. It works that 9 of them are minyan ha-ra'oi, and the other 9 are Chayavim. So you have 9 minyan ha-ra'oi, 9 Chayavim, and then the 10th one is Maser. But we just don't know which set of 9 it belongs to. That means in each pair of animals, you have one that's patur and one that's chayav. Once you have that, we saw in the previous Mishnah, if you have a mix-up of animals that are p'turim and chayavim, you can't put them into the deer anymore for maser, because you need asri vadai and not asri bin safik. And because of that, once they are mixed together, you can't do anything with them. So for one of those 2 reasons, that's the suggestion that it should work over here and the brayta should say p'turim. So Gemara says, Kasavra Siri the Minyan Behemot Hu Kadosh. Gemara says that's not a valid answer for the explaining the Braita, because Rava holds, like the Manda Amar after the Mishnah, that the count works irrespective of what you're doing. And this is a machloket we're going to see right after this next Mishnah, is when you do something like this, where you're miscounting, and you're basically counting the pairs. You're going 1, even though there's 2, and you're counting 2, even though you're up to 4 already. How do we view that? Do we ignore what you're doing? And just say the animals will count themselves in essence. And so number 10 is kadosh, irrespective of what you do. Or do we say that your count is impactful? So that's a machloket. What the Gemara says is, Rava holds, asiri le minyan behemot hu kadosh. Doesn't matter what you're doing, the 10th one out is kadosh. That means by the time you get to number 5 in your count, there's already an asiri that's kadosh. Because in the first 5 pairs, number 10 already exited. And that one is kadosh, the remaining 9 are not minyan ha-ra'oi, because they're post the Maaser Behema that you took off. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Zakai Imei Rav Huna Bar Shechora. Wow, how lucky is the mother of Rav Huna Bar Shechora? The Shani Lei Shmaita Berigdo Kishmate, that they said over in the public venue of the Regel, they said over like his memra, or that his words were kept. Here you have 3 different views as to what this means. The Ravenu Gershom takes the most negative view of this, which is, he says, Ve'afa gav dolo hava chacham kolkach. Even though this Rav Huna Bar Shechora wasn't such a big talmud chacham, v'taritz lo abraita l'rava b'rigla lifnei rabbi. Meaning that even though he wasn't such a sharp student, he still was able in the public venue to answer while Rava is giving the drasha and then have his position be upheld in front of everybody. So he wasn't the best student, but his mother's zchut stood in him and it gave him extra credit. So even though he himself might not have been worthy, his mother's credit helped him even though he wasn't the sharpest of the chachamim. That's the way the Rabbeinu Gershom says it. Rashi and the Rashi Ktav Yad have a much more positive view of it. The Miuchas, the Rashi says, Shezachta imo, Sherabuna bar Schor, Sheyada ben Kamotu, She Yada, Letareitz the Rav Shmuato b'toch Hadrasha. She was a lucky mother that has such a great son that's able to answer in the front of the big Talmud Chacham, his Rebbe, in front of all the people there, he can answer this. That's what he says. And Rashi Ktav Yad only adds on the additional factor, which is, Shezachta ben Kamotu, Berigla, Shuayam Mirubim V'yatzativ O. He adds the additional factor that it was in a public venue, and that put him on the map. Because now, all of a sudden, everybody knows about this Rav Huna Bar Schora, because he, in front of Rav, in front of everyone there, answers the question. So there you have three different views, from the lowest, Rabbeinu Gershom saying that his mother's chut, even though he wasn't such a sharp guy, helped him out. The Rashi, Miuchas Rashi says, his mother is lucky to have such a son that can answer Rava and the Drasha. And then the Rashi Ktav Yad says even more, that not only was this something where he did something great in the Drasha, it also now made him into a famous Amora, because he answered Rava in front of him in the public venue, and so his mother was lucky to have a son like that. Now the Mishnah. Yotsu Shnaim Kachat. Two of them exited simultaneously. Mone Otan Shnaim, whether it's Shnaim Shnaim or Shnaim, you count them as two. So this is what we said before, that you view them, when two exits, you have to view them as Kilu Zechar Zeh. So if you have two that go out, you can't count them as one entity, you have to count them as two. So you have to go 7-8 or 6-7 when the two go out together. Manan Echad, what happens if he doesn't do that? He only counts them as one. Shi Vasiri Mikukalim. Then your ninth and tenth are messed up. Now, this is the most difficult statement of the Mishnah, and that is because right now it's saying that if you have a miscount because you didn't double count, meaning that you had a pair go out, and instead of counting them as two separate entities, you count them as a single entity, then by the time you get to number 10, you're saying 9, and when you get to number 11, you're calling that 10, because you're one behind the count. So now that's what it says here, that she, vasirim, kukalim. Your number 9 and your number 10 are messed up. Your number 9 is really 10, and your number 10 is really 11. Now, the problem we have in the Mishnah here is, why does it use the term Mikul Kalim? Why this is such a problem with the word Mikul Kalim over here is because the Mishnah later on, we're in about a minute, we're going to say in the Mishnah that if you miscount and you count number 10 as a wrong number, and then you count 11 as 10, then number 10 is the Maser, and number 11 is the Shlamim. So, what do you mean, Mikul Kalim? We know exactly what happens in this case. One of them becomes Maser, one of them becomes the Shlamim, and you deal with it. So why do you have Mikul Kalim over here? Rashi here, in the Miuchas Rashi, at the way end, brings something that he attributes to his Rebbe. He says, Umanumuke Rabbi Matsati. I found in the notes in the views of my Rebbe, Mikul Kalim doesn't really mean Mikul Kalim. It's as if, wait and see. Mikul Kalim right now is a shorthand for telling you, wait, the Mishnah is going to tell you what happens over here. It's not Mikul Kal in the sense that it's ruined and you don't know what to do here. Rather, it's ruined and I'll tell you in a second what you need to do with it. So that's the simplest way to explain it, and that avoids a lot of the problem. The only issue with that is the word Mikul Kal is not exactly the type of term you would have used in that situation. You should have just said, see later in the Mishnah, or we're going to tell you in a second what it is. The same Mikul Kal is a very strong word, and you can see that in the Rabbeinu Gershom. The Rabbeinu Gershom takes it literally at Mikul Kalim over here, which is, you have Shlamim u'Maser mu'aravim zebazeh. You have a Shlamim and a Maser that are mixed together. You can't eat them b'muman, because the Shlamim and the Maser are actually different character traits. One is the Chazev Shok that goes to the Kohanim. The Maser belongs to the Balim b'muman. So you can't just eat them b'muman because one of them is a Shlamim that's going on the Mizbeach, and one of them is a Maser. Pilkach, Leidlahu Takana. There's nothing you can do with these animals. Ela Shnei Miru Ad Shistavu. You have to wait for both of them to get a mum. Then you have to take, likely the more expensive of the two, redeem that money, take those monies and use it towards a shlamim. And the remaining animals, the two that you had there, both have to be eaten b'muman because of that safek. So that's what he says, mekukalim. Mekukalim is, you're in a bind now where you have no solution to the problem. They are mixed together. When they're mixed together, you have now maaser and shlamim. You don't know what to do with them. So therefore you say, maaser would have been nechal b'mumo. Shlamim needs to be nifteh b'mumo. You have to wait till they both get a mum, redeem the more expensive of the two, take that money, buy a shlamim with it, and then you can eat the remaining two, the animals there, b'muman. But there's some underlying assumption here in the Rabbeinu Gershom, which is hard to understand, which is he says they're mixed up. Where do you see they're ever mixed up over here? He's counting them sequentially. He got the count wrong, but he knows which one he counted as 9 and which one he counted as 10. He counted as 9, it was really 10, and he counted 11 as 10. Why do we have sequential confusion? You should know which one is the shlamim, which one's the maser. So you could just say that he got them mixed up afterwards because he miscounted and he got them mixed up. And it seems to be what Rashi and Miuchas Rashi is saying. He's going to have a mess on his hands because he's going to mix them up. Based on his count, he's going to mix up what really happened. Or that there seems to be a safek all along over here. That's the way the Balei HaTosafot seem to indicate that he says it's a safek. When he counted them as one, does that make them into one? Or does that make them into two? We're not sure. Even though right after the mission, there's someone who says that it's not your count. It's based on what the animals are. But over here, where he counted them as one, now he makes it into a safek. And now the one that he counted as 9 is really a safek shia siri. So for that reason, now you have a safek that is built in over here. That's one way to explain it. That mekukalim is because there's more than just one issue here. Either because like the Tosafot says, you count them as one, and we're not sure if one, when you count them as one, makes them really one, or they really should be two. We don't know which way it should go. Or it's because they were more than one set of doubles over here, and therefore when you count them at the end, we're not really sure what happened, because two of them came out at once. You called them 9 and 10, and they were really 10 and 11, and we don't know which one is the 9, 10 versus the 10, 11, and that's why you have a mix-up over here. So that's one way to explain mekukalim. Then, if you look in the Rashi, it seems to be Rashi, Miuchas the Rashi, and the Rashi Ktav Yad bring two other explanations for this. And the Rashi Ktav Yad seems to be a little bit more clear about this, which is that there's a difference as to when the two come out. When you have a mix-up at the end, where you count number 10 as 9, and you count number 11 as 10, over there, you made a mistake in the count. Anybody watching from the outside can know exactly what happened over here. You counted up to 9. They know 9 exited. They know the next one should be 10, and the one after that should be 11. You got mixed up, and you counted it as 9 and 10 instead of 10 and 11. In that situation, you have the din of the Mishnah. What you call 9 is really 10, which is maser. What you call 10 is 11. That's a shlamim. But over here, the mix-up happens much earlier in the count. It did not happen at 9 and 10. You mixed it up way earlier when it was 5 or 6 or 7, because you counted that double that went out as one number. So you ruined the count earlier on, and somebody on the outside now has no idea what you're up to. If you counted number 8 over here, they don't know that when you count 9 and 10, which is really 10 and 11, they don't know that, because when you counted the two together before, they didn't see that necessarily, and when you're listening to your count got mixed up much earlier this time, and that's why you have mekukalim. So that's the way Rashi explains it, which is there's a difference between ivror and lo ivror. Ivror means it's obvious what the outcome should be over here. In that case, number 10 is maser, number 11 is shlamim, because you miscounted them, because everybody else, there's a clear count here, you just mixed it up. In the case where you mix up the count earlier, by the time you get to 10, it's not clear what 10 is anymore, and which one is 11, because your count is off from a much earlier stage. You messed up the count much earlier. And that's why in the Mishnah here it says mekukalim, versus later on where it says 10 is maser and 11 is shlamim. It's a question where the mix-up happened. Was it an early mix-up or a later mix-up? So that's what Rashi in the Ktav Yad explains, and it seems to be what Rashi and Miuchas Rashi is saying. They then bring a fourth explanation, which is from the Gemara in Nazir. By the Gemara Nazir, it says, bita'uto, that only when you make a mistake is hektesh bita'ut a hektesh. But bikavanato, if you do it intentionally, it doesn't become hektesh. That is actually a machloket in the Gemara in Nazir. The Rashi Ktav Yad just throws it out as a possibility. Maybe it's speaking about here, ta'uto below kavanato, and over here you intentionally counted the two as one. You didn't make a mistake. You counted two as one instead of counting them as two. Since you did it intentionally, kavanato is not makdish. as opposed to ta'uto, which would be makdish when you got to number 10 and 11, when you made a mistake, that was really a ta'ut, and that's why it's makdish. That's what the Rashi in Tavyad says. Then, if you look at Miyuchas, the Rashi says, ve'enu niru. He says it doesn't make sense, because number one, you have a problem with the shita of ta'uto v'kavanato. There's a machloket over there, whether it's just ta'uto or ta'uto v'kavanato. So according to that shita, you can't read the Mishnah anymore, which is problematic. And in addition to saying that, why does it matter that he counted two as one? He says, Dim kein afilu kara l'tshi asiri, nami lavi mikukal, lo yetzu shnaim ke'achat. Even if you didn't have two going at once, if you're doing it intentionally and making the mistake intentionally, you should have the same outcome, whether it was two that went out or one that went out. Those are the four or five ways that we explain this mikukalim over here. Again, the simplest way is just to say mikukalim means see later in the Mishnah. The other possibility is like the Rabbeinu Gershom and the Baal Tosafot, that there's some sort of safek that is generated over here. Then there's the view of the Rashi and the Rashi Ketav Yad, that it's a difference because you did it earlier in the count versus later in the count. That makes the difference, and that's why it's Mekukal over here. Or you have this idea of Ta'uto, below Kavanato, and over here it was Bikavanah, even though, again, Miyuchas the Rashi rejects that because it has many problems with that explanation over here. Right now, in addition to the complexity of this, there's also another complexity in the Mishnah, which is there's some question about the Girsa. If you look to the left over there, they bring from the Rosh and others, and then the Mishnayot, there's found another line over here. Yatsu chi'i v'asiri kachat. If 9 and 10 go out simultaneously, chi'i v'asiri mekukalim. Then 9 and 10 are mixed up, because they went out simultaneously, and now you don't know which one went out as 10, because 9 and 10 exited simultaneously, and now you're mekukal, because you don't know which one is 9, and you don't know which one is 10, and they're together. So now you have mekukalim. So that would then indicate that the mekukalim before also means that there's some sort of safek or mix-up over here. Over here, he points you to the Tosfot back on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Bet. It's really the end of the Tosfot on Yud Chet Amud Aleph. But over there, the Bali Tosfot say, it sounds like over here, that this is only according to the Manda Amar, that Efshar L'Tzamtzem, that you can have things come out exactly simultaneously. Because if they don't come out simultaneously, then the one that led should be the one that is the Maser. So why do you have a safek over here? If you believe they can come out simultaneously, then it's very easy to understand why you have a mess here and why both of them would be kadosh, because they really came out at the same moment. The problem is, for the one who says, Eifshar L'Tzamtzem, then you can never have them be exactly the same. So if they never can be exactly the same, first of all, why over here do you have any problem? And number two is, if they can never be at the same time, that means it's really Zecher Zeh. If it's Zecher Zeh, how could you make number 11 kadosh? According to Eifshar L'Tzamtzem, that's the problem. Tosafot back there says, Afilo the mandamar, Eifshar L'Tzamtzem. Even according to the one who says Eifshar L'Tzamtzem, Kaven de in yachol akir, eze kadam mashu l'chaveiro. Sometimes you can say Eifshar L'Tzamtzem, it won't be exact, but you can't discern that inexactitude. Meaning that they exited, one exited first. We know for sure one of them exited first. Just you couldn't discern which one that was. I mean, it's Kaven l'krot shneim asiri, and therefore when you called both of them asiri, ubabat achad karam, Lo dami lekara asiri asiri, v'acharkach lechad asar asiri. That's not similar to when you call the 10th one 10, and then the 11th one 10. Ubusamuk kamar hatan, the chol b'vat achad, tarvayu kashik, lav mamash b'vat achad, b'tzimtzum, elik de parshina. The Gemara here is going to have a number of cases on the Amud Bet, which also references back to this Tosfot, that say they exit b'vat achad. We have a principle, kol she'ein b'zeh karzeh, eino b'vat achad. And anything that can't happen sequentially, can't happen b'vat achad. Now, we already established that with regards to number 9, 10, and 11, number 9, if you make a mistake, is kadosh. 10 will be maser. 11 can only be kadosh if there was a mix-up in number 10 and 10 was ne'ekar. You removed the name from number 10 and you didn't make it number 10, then 11 be kadosh. But if you call 10, 10, then 11 can't be anything because you already made 10 kadosh. Whatever you say about 11 is irrelevant. So Tosafot says, how does that work? If you were to do this, b'zeh achar zeh, if you were to do it sequentially, number 11 would not be kadosh. Yet over here, what the Gemara is saying is that when you count them simultaneously, that they do get kadusha. We're going to see on the second half of today's daf that even works with 10 and 11. And our mission over here, according to this gear, says 9 and 10 together. And you do them b'vat achat, and all of a sudden they're kadosh, and it works. So Tosafot over here says there are two things going on. The first thing is that it's not that they came out exactly together. One of them did come ahead of the other. Because Eifshar L'Tzamtzem. So even according to the one who says Eifshar L'Tzamtzem, this is a case that is possible. Because it's indiscernible. It was one of them came out first. That's number one. Number two is, when you call them a kedusha bebat achat, it is not similar to calling them sequentially. That's because when you call them together, you're trying to create the kedusha in one shot on both of them, and therefore it has a different din than if you were to do it sequentially. So even though if you had called number 10, 10, and then number 11, 10, number 11 would not be kadosh. When 10 and 11 exit together, and you call them kadosh, that works. And that kedusha devolves upon both of them at the same time, because it's kavein the quote shnehem asiri. Your intent is to make both of them 10 at that moment. And the reason over here that barachat might work, even though generally bezeach hazeh doesn't work, then barachat doesn't work, is because the reason behind why you need an akirav number 10 for 11 to be kadosh. And that is because once you call number 10, 10, then calling 11 something else is meaningless. You're already finished. There's only one 10 that there could be, and you've already finished the 10, and so therefore calling the 11 number 10 is meaningless in that context. That's why the Gemara before said that number 9 doesn't need akirav 10, because we haven't crossed over 10 yet. And that's why you can make it kadosh, even though you were not okir number 10. But once you cross over number 10, number 11 is meaningless at that point. Therefore, if it's done sequentially, once you call 10, 10, then calling number 11, 10 isn't meaningful because there was no akirav 10. On the other hand, when you do it bevat achat, you don't have that same condition. Because it's not that 11 is automatic 11 because you call 10. You didn't call anything 10 yet. They happened simultaneously that you called them 10. But here you call both of them 10, so you never really ended the 10, that the 11 can't be called 10. And that's why bevat achat, it works over here, even though b'zeh chaser would not work. And so Tosfos calls it bevat achat, even though one is ahead of the other. That's the first chiddush. And the second chiddush is that you can bevat achat do something that you can't do b'zeh chaser, because of your intention. It supersedes this principle of what you can't do b'zeh chaser, you can't do bevat achat. So that's Tosfos' chiddush over here. And that's partly based on the Girsa in the Mishnah here, as well as the Gemara upcoming. So they have that additional piece in the Mishnah, which we don't have in our Gemara here. Now we continue in the Mishnah. Kara the Shi Asiri, if he calls number 9, 10. Ula Asiri, Shi, and number 10, 9. Ula Chadasar Asiri, and then number 11, 10. Shloshtam Mikudashim. In that case, all three of them are Kadosh. Hachi Nechal Bimumo. 9 is Kadosh, that you eat it once it gets a moment. It never ends up on the Mizbeach. Vasiri Maser. Number 10, the ruin that should have been 10, is the Maser. Bechadaser karev shlamim, and number 11 is the shlamim. So you mixed up all of these. Voset tmura, and that shlamim is able to create tmura. So if you try to exchange it onto another animal chulin, it will generate tmura, and that animal also will be kadosh. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's position. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, v'chiyesh tmura, oset tmura. Rabbi Yehuda says, how can you have something that is exchanged, then be exchanged onto something else? Meaning that an animal that is already begin kadosh because of tmura, you have a shlamim, and then you took an animal of chulin, and you tried to move the kedusha to the animal of chulin, you are unsuccessful at removing it from the animal, but you are successful at creating a new animal of shlamim. That new animal of shlamim, if you take it and try to then put it onto another animal of chulin, that doesn't work. That's tmura l'tmura, that doesn't work. And Rabbi Yehuda says over here, this is tmura l'tmura, why should it work? What's clear is that Rabbi Yehuda believes number 11 is kadosh, because it's tmurat maser. That's why it's a shlamim. Because you tried to take maser and put it onto number 11, that's what makes it kadosh. And for that reason, you can't then make another tmura. And that's what Rabbi Meir says back to him in his answer. Amru mishum Rabbi Meir. Here the Gemara references you to Horiot Yudalit. You guys remember when we learned Horiot Yudalit, over there Rabbi Meir tried to depose Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi's father. And when he tried to depose Rabbi's father, they penalized Rabbi Meir that they would not quote him in the Mishnah by name. Later on, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi's son, tries to convince Rabbi to back away from it a little bit and say it in a way that's indirect and not direct. And then there's different problems. Like, for instance, it just says Divrei Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah over here. And now we have Amru Mishum Rabbi Meir. So maybe when Allah is like him, we quote him directly as Rabbi Meir. When Allah is not like him, then we use these circumspect manners to explain him, and that's what it means over here. That's why it references the Horiot. Amru Mishum Rabbi Meir. They say over in the name of Rabbi Meir, not a direct statement from Rabbi Meir. That was the penalty for trying to depose Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and bring in a new Nasi. Ilu haya tmura, lo haya karev. If it was Tmura, it wouldn't end up on the Mizbeach. You just said here, it's a Shlamim that goes on the Mizbeach. Tmura of Maaser would not end up on the Mizbeach. It might be Kadosh, but it won't end up on the Mizbeach. So that means that it can't be that number 11 is Tmura. If number 11 is not Tmura, then that's why the Shlamim can create Tmura, because it's a real Shlamim and not a Tmura. So Kara Litshi Asiri, because number 9, 10, Uli Asiri Asiri, and number 10, 10, Uli Chadasar Asiri. Called three of them 10. 9, 10, 11, he called them all 10. Ena Chadasar Mikudash. Number 11 is not Kadosh, is the principle I just mentioned before. Zaklau. Kol Shal No Neakar Shem Asiri Mimenu. Unless 10 has the name of 10 taken away from it, Ena Chadasar Mikudash. Number 11 can't be Kadosh. Meaning that number 9 can be Kadosh just by calling it 10. But number 11 can only be Kadosh if you messed up number 10. Because if you don't mess up number 10, 10's Kadosh already, then what you say about 11 is irrelevant, because you already got Meister as number 10, and then 11 has no bearing on the case anymore. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Manan Zugot Zugot. He counts them out in pairs. Or Kinterin Kinterin. It's actually a little bit of a misconstruing of a word, the Greek word, which is really with a C, that starts with the word sent, which means 100. So Kinterin or Kinterin means 100. It's the Gemara's take using the C with a K sound, a K sound, rather than the S sound of the C. And so over here it's Kinterin Kinterin, when the reference is really to the Greek word sent, which means 100. So instead of counting them, he wasn't counting them in pairs, he was counting them in hundreds. He's doing it by 100 lots. Asiri leminyan hu kadosh. The 10th one in the count is kadosh. And the Gemara asks on that, the minyan demai. Which count are we speaking about over here? So Rav Mari Amar, the Minyan Shelo, hu kadosh. According to his own count, he is kadosh. Rav Kana Amar, the Minyan Behemot, hu kadosh. It's based on the animals. Meaning that according to Rav Mari, your count is determinant over here, and that means the following. So over here, if he's counting 2 by 2, that means when he reaches number 10 in his count, both of them will be kadosh. Now the assumption here is that you're going to reach the number that will make a kadosh, and you'll have the same number of maser as had you done it properly. If you, by doing this, you're going to now end up with no Meiser, or not, you're not going to be, then it doesn't work. It works here only because, for instance, if there were 20 in the pool. If there are 20 in the pool, if you count to 10 and 10, you end up with 2. And if you count them as 1 for the first pair, 2 for the second pair, when you reach number 10, 2 of them are going to be Meiser, but it might work. Same with the hundreds. If you have 1,000 animals, and then you count 100 as 1, 200 as 1, by the time you get to the 10th 100, 100 of them will be kadosh. The same way, had you counted them 10 at a time, it would be kadosh. Your count governs over here, and we abide by your count, and those are the ones that are kadosh. Whereas Rav Kahana says, it's the minyan behemotu kadosh, irrelevant what you're counting, whatever the 10th animal comes out, that's going to be kadosh, and whatever you're counting is irrelevant to the situation, because you can't override the reality that is in front of us. So when he hits number 5, so over there, number 10 there, will be kadosh, irrespective of what he's doing. Here's the Machloket Amoraim, which we referenced to before, which is when you're counting in this manner, does your count bear on the outcome over here? Or is your count irrelevant over here? And that's the Machloket Amoraim in explaining Rav Yochanan. It's not our Mishnah. Yatsu Shnaim Kachat, Moneotan Shnaim, and again here the question, the Girsa, whether it's Shnaim Shnaim or Shnaim, which makes again a difference in how many pairs you think came out in this situation. But he counts them as 2, Manan Echad, if he counts 1, Shiva Siri Mikul Kalim. Bishlamo lemanda amar leminyan shelo hu kadosh. That if we follow his count, v'shumachi avit shiva asiri mikul kalim. That's why there is a mess over here. Because asiri kakari lechi, number 10, he's calling 9, ulachadasar asiri, and then he's calling number 11, 10. So that's why we have a mess over here, because his count is governing in the case. Elamanda amar leminyan behemotu kadosh. If you say that it's not according to his count, but it's according to the natural count of the animals, lichi chi kakarile, number 9 is number 9, the Rashi mentioned here, labdav kakarile. He didn't call it 9, but it is 9. When it goes out, it's called 9. Ule asiri asiri kakarile, and then number 10 is number 10. So then, doesn't matter what he did, why is there any kul over here? So I'm going to call Rabbi Yochanan, ki amina anon heched di ikavein lefkuke zugot zugot. That he can answer, there's a big difference. In the case of Rabbi Yochanan, he's intentionally counting by pairs. He's counting out the pairs, 1 for pair 1, 2 for pair 2. He's doing this whole thing intentionally. That's where we say that his count is not meaningful. Hey, but enough of Mimela, when it happens by itself, lo, that's not the case. So, In the case where you have the animals going out and he's intentionally counting them as pairs, there we say that his count is irrelevant and the real count will govern in this situation. But in a case where he's not intentionally doing this, there's a mistake. Because he counted a pair as one in the beginning, that creates a problem for him. That problem now is manifest in his incorrect count that's happening. He's not doing this intentionally. That's his incorrect count. That incorrect count is going to cause him a problem. And therefore, it will be mikukal because of the mistake in his count. So that's one way to explain it. The Rashash brings a possibility that the girsa is reversed over here. And then it'd be a little easier to understand it, which is Bishlama, according to the one who says that Minyan Habeimo to Kadosh, Mishumachi, that's why you have a mess over here, because the Chi Vasiri are Mikukalim. Because in this case, if we go by the animals and not by him, he's calling the wrong numbers to the animals or what they should be. And that's why you have a mess over here. You have a mess because number 9 is really number 9, and number 10 is really number 10, but he's calling 10 9, he's calling 11 10. He's going to have a mess on his hands because he's going to mix them up. Based on his count, he's going to mix up what really happened. On the other hand, the Manda Amar, the Minyan Beimot Shalohu Kadosh, one who says that it's according to his Minyan, then the Chi Kakarile, the Siria Siri Kakarile. He called number 9 number 9, he called 10 10, it should follow his count. Why is there any Kilkul over here? And then Amar Chal Rabbi Yochanan, that's the explanation here. That depends on how this is happening. If it's happening where he's intending for it to happen this way, then I say that Minyan Shalom governs. But in a case where he makes a mistake and it happens by itself, then we don't say Minyan Shalom governs. So if you reverse the girsa, it actually works out easier to read in the Gemara. Then you don't have to say Kakari Leiz Labdavka, and then actually the explanation runs a little smoother. So the Rashash brings such a possibility, even though he doesn't have any evidence of it. I did see that there are some kitveyat that do actually have the girsa reversed. I don't know if that's a result of the logical exchange, or that's what was there, and there was a reverse girsa. All right, Tashma, Manan le Mafreya. The upcoming Mishnah says if he counts them backwards, he says 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, until 1. Asirish b'minyan hu kadosh. Number 10 of his count, which is 1 in his number, is going to be kadosh. He counted 10, and then went down to 1. If you go by Minyan Shalom, the first one should have been kadosh, because that's what he called number 10. But yet the Mishnah says the one he called one is kadosh. So that seems to say that it's based on the animals and not on your account. So Bishma Lamanda Amar Laminyan Beimo to Kadosh Shapir. Lamanda Raminyan Shalom Kadosh Asiri Chad Karile. Number 10, you called one. Why should it be kadosh? Amarava Hova Ite Biminyana Parsa the Karila Sarachat. He says because the Persian count, number 10 is one. Which is the reason it's 10 is because in the Persian count, they go back. They reset to one at number 10. So it's like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 1 is the equivalent of 10 in the Persian count. And therefore, we view it as if he counted it as 10 in Persian. We assume that that's what he meant, and therefore it's called 10. So based on that, then it could still be Minyan Shalom. And even according to Minyan Shalom, it's number 10. All right. Karle Chi Asiri, Ula Asiri Chi. He calls number 9, 10. Or the 10, 9. Ula Charesar Asiri. We said all of them are Kadosh. Turn up a 9. Minayin. Where's the source for this idea? Talmud Omar, the Pasuk says, V'chol Masar Bakar Batzon, Kol Asher Yavur Tachad HaShavet, Hasiri Yekodesh LaHashem. That's all the Gemara brings. It doesn't explain it. The Rabbeinu Gershom of Yair says, V'chol Masar, the Rabot Kol Shekar Alav Shem Maser. That's, he says it comes from the word Kol Masar. That means anything you call Maser, anything you call 10, is going to be kadosh. That's the limit of the Rabbeinu Gershom. Although the fact that the Gemara quotes the whole pasuk seems to indicate that it's not the kol maaser that's doing it, but rather kol maaser b'kar v'tzon kol hashei yavur tachad hashavet hasirei yekodesh sounds like yekodesh is the limud, and that's the way they have it in the sifrei in the midrash halacha is yekodesh. Everything will be kadosh, meaning anything that you call as maaser will be kadosh. That's rabot et kulan yochol shanim reveach shmini u'shnei maaser. That's the case. If everything's kadosh, when you call it 10, why only 9 and 11? What about 8 and 12? Amart, hol behu kadosh vitauto mitkadeshet. You say that the maaser itself is kadosh, and its mistake is kadosh. Mahu enu mikudash elebet samuch. Just like the maaser itself is only kadosh in of itself, I mean,
close to it, because it's itself. So do a mistake will only be mikdash when it's juxtaposed adjacent to the number. So therefore, only 9 and 11 that are adjacent to number 10 will be kadosh. 8 and 12 are too far away at this point. V'hatanya, mahu yumiuchat, ap to uto miuchadet. Just like it is miuchad, meaning it can only be the only maser, so to its mistake, you can only have one mistake. So now you have a problem over here, because in our Mishnah, you had a statement that number 9, 10, and 11 could be kadosh. Over here, based on this braita, it says just like there's only one maser, there's only one mistake. That means 9 and 11 can't both be kadosh, because you can only have one of the two be kadosh. So Tana Taname de Rabbi Yochanan, Amane Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. The author of that position is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer Lolam, Ein Echad Asar Kadosh, Ad Shishtok B'Tshi'i. Number 11 is only kadosh when you're silent in number 9. V'yikra Le'asiri T'Shi'i. And then you call number 10, 9. Ulechad Asar Asiri. And then you call number 11, 10. Question is, what did you do with number 9? If you look in the Balei Tosafot, he brings down two possibilities, and Rashi Ktav Yad brings the second of the two possibilities, which is, Yesh Lefarish B'Shnei Nyanim. Says, either when he said that he was silent at number 9, Labdafka Shishtok, doesn't mean he wasn't quiet, it just he called 9-9. Yishtok means he didn't do anything wrong with number 9. That's one possibility of the count is if he called number 9, 9, and then number 10, 9, and then he called 11, 10. That's one way to read it. And he says, or, the other way to read it is that shtok means literally shtok that he didn't say anything. He let it pass through without saying anything. Why does that make a difference? So Rashi and Taviyat explains, Ashi shtok betet below you the bare cloud. And so you don't say anything. Because if you call 9-9, number 10 is kadosh me'alav. That's what we said before. Once you hit 9, 10 works by itself. So if you already counted up number 9, 10 would automatically be kadosh. And it doesn't matter what you say about number 10. 10 is kadosh, and then the whole thing is over at that moment. So he says, if you called 9-9, there's nothing to discuss. That's why it has to be literally yishtok. Tosfot, on the other hand, said, maybe even if you called 9-9, but because number 10 is kadosh me'alav, that's why you don't say anything. When you don't do anything wrong. But over here, when you call number 10, 9, then you're okay it, and you ruin number 10, and then you can have 11. So Tosfot entertains the possibility that even if you called 9, and 10 should have been kadosh me'alav, when you go and mistakenly call it 9 then again, that causes the problem, and therefore 11 could be kadosh. That's called akira. The easier way to read it, that's the second version of Tosfot, and the way that Rashi Ktav Yad reads it is, when you say shtok, it means you were silent by number 9, and then you count to 10 as 9, and 11 as 10, you skipped number 9 in essence. That's what it is. Now, Sabalaki Rabbi Yehuda, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, Damar Ta'ut Maser Tmura Habi. That a mistake in maser is tmura, meaning number 11 is tmura for number 10. V'savala ke'abua, he also holds like his father, damar ein meimer chuzer b'meimar, that you can't have a hamara and a hamara, which means that if an animal creates tmura, then it can't again create tmura again. So that if you have a shlamim and you try to exchange it onto a chulin animal, yes, then it works, and the animal that was kulin turns into a shlamim now, and you have two shlamim. But then if you take that same shlamim again, and try to put it onto another behemoth kulin, it doesn't work. It's actually a machloka Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish in the Gemara and Tmura. It happens to be here, this is Rabbi Yochanan l'shitato. And that's what the Rabbeinu Gershom says, this is Rabbi Yochanan l'shitato, who believes that you can't meimir v'chuzer v'meimir. Using that compilation of opinions, that's how we get to the solution over here. So conceptually, just like you say, you can't have meimir, chozer, umeimir, so too you can't have ta'ut v'ta'ut. It's true that Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says that number 11 is tmura. He doesn't necessarily say number 9 is tmura. This idea here, we're even suggesting that number 9 is tmura for number 10, and therefore once you've made number 9 kadosh because of number 10, number 11 can't become kadosh because that'd be tmura achar tmura. And that's why it doesn't work over here. And that's the explanation of that one braita that says if 9 is already kadosh, 11 will not be kadosh. That's not the view of our Mishnah. And that's not the view that we expressed here as to the reason as to why number 9 and 11 are kadosh. It means that they both can be kadosh, not just one of them be kadosh. Amar Rava. So now we have a series of memorot from Rava that all are very similar ilk, and they come to explain this idea of Yatsu Shnayim B'Tshi'i. What happens if you have two that walk out in number 9 slot? They walk out together. Karan Shi'i, if he calls them 9,
when they walked out together at number 9, Asiri v'chulin mu'ravin zebezeh. You have number 10 and chulin mixed together at this point, because number 9 is number 9. Asiri me'elav kadosh. And then 10 automatically becomes kadosh by itself. Chi kakarile. And number 9 he called number 9. So therefore you have chulin and maser mixed up here. Number 9 you counted right. Number 10 became kadosh. You have maser and chulin mixed together. We don't know which one is which. Therefore you have to wait for both of them to get a mum in them. And then nechal b'muman to the baalim. Obviously, if you do something wrong with them, including if you try to be pudeh them, you do avoda or giz avoda them, you're not going to get malkot, because there is a safek over here. Karana siri. Now, when they walked out simultaneously at number 9 slot, instead of calling them 9, he called them 10. Asiri v'chi'i muravim b'zeh b'zeh. Now you have 9 and 10 mixed up together. My time, huh? What's the reasoning? Asiri kakari lohu tarvayu. He called them both number 10. Since he called both of them number 10, you in essence have what is in our Mishnah. When you call 9, 10, it's kadosh. When you call 10, 10, it's maser. So now it's different than the previous case where you have chulin and maser. Here you have maser and kadosh mixed together because of what happened over here. Next case, you choose shnayim b'asiri. Instead of it being 2 coming out of number 9, 2 coming out of the number 10 spot. Karan asiri, if he calls them 10, asiri v'achad asar mu'rim zebezeh. Then you have now number 10 and 11 that are mixed up together. Because number 10 you called 10, and number 11 you called 10 as well. Karan echadasar, if he called them number 11, asiri v'chulin mu'rabin zebezeh. Number 10 became kadosh by itself, and number 11 is called number 11. Betul lamali. Why do you have to tell me this? Hainuach. If you told me the same thing by 9, when you called 9, 9, and then 9, 10, then if you do the same thing in the 10th slide, you call it 10, or you call it 11, the outcomes were all the same. What's the chiddush over here? Cha kamash malan, d'chol b'mchat achat, tarvayu kakadshei. When you do it simultaneously, they both become kadosh. Af agad lo nekar shem asiri amenu. Even though you didn't uproot number 10. The chiddush over here is when number 10 slot, two of them come out, and you call it 10, that works. Normally, we said before, 11 can only be kadosh if you undermine 10. Over here, you're calling number 10, 10, and yet still number 11 is becoming 10. So this is the chiddush that even though b'zeh chazeh, had you called 10, 10, and then 11, 10, 11 would not be kadosh. You do it b'vat achat, you do it simultaneously, number 10 becomes kadosh as 10, and number 11 also becomes kadosh as 10, even though you never uprooted 10. That's the chiddush that Tosafot cited back on Yudzayin Amud Bet. But he says, you see here that b'vat achat, even though normally zeh chazeh doesn't work, Bat Achat works. There's a difference over here. That Bat Achat, despite the fact that in normal situations, Zeh Chazer does not work, over here, Bat Achat does work. And that's the exceptional din that Tosafot brought before. And that's what he says over here. Shnayim v'asiri, Tosafot says, Pirashti d'matzi savar yifshad l'tzamtzein. Tosafot says, I told you before that he can hold yifshad l'tzamtzein. One did come out before because they were indiscernible. It's as if like they came out together. And since you have kavanah to be makadish both of them, it works, even though it wouldn't have worked, b'zeh or zeh. Therefore, if it's done sequentially, once you call 10, 10, then calling number 11, 10 isn't meaningful because there was no akirah of 10. On the other hand, when you do it b'vat achat, you don't have that same condition. Because it's not that 11 is automatic 11 because you call 10. You didn't call anything 10 yet. They happen simultaneously that you call them 10. That's a chidushim that Tosafot is referencing back on Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Bet, really on the top of Yud Chet, Amud Aleph. And then, if the middle case is where you called either number 9 and 10, 10, in the case where you called number 10 or 11, 10, then both of them are kadosh. That means if you do Giza Bavoda with them, you're going to be Chayav Malkot, Mimonav Shok. Because either it's a Shlamim or it's a Maser. If you try to be Podeh them, then you're also going to have a problem. So all of these issues then will be Vadai that you're in violation of them. Rather than the safek, and that's the way the Reino Gershom explains the difference between 9 and 10 being mixed up, and 10 and 11 mixed up, versus saying one's kulin and one is kadosh. Because in the case where you have one that's kulin, every safek is going to result in no malkot. In the case where they're both kadosh, then every safek will end up with malkot, because both of them have the restrictions associated with them. Yoti Rav Kahana, v'kamar lei l'hai shmaitito, he was saying over this memra, amar lei Rav Ashi, the Rav Kahana, how could it be that number 10 and 11 are kadosh if you were not okay with the shame from 10? What's obvious from here, and Miuchas Rashi over here says,
it's clear that he did not hear the end of that statement of Rava. Had he heard the end, we already explained that. That was the Kamash Malon. What was the Kiddush of Rava? That even when you do it about Dachad, it works. So he's saying he clearly didn't hear this, otherwise his question, he wouldn't have asked the question. That's why he's asking the question. That's not Zeh HaKlal, Kol Shelo Nekar Shem Asiri Emenu, Ena Chadasar Mekudash, our Mishnah. You don't uproot number 10, number 11 is not Kadosh. So Hani Mili B'Zeh HaKazeh. That's only B'Zeh HaKazeh. B'Vad HaKad, Tarbayu Kakadche. But if you do it simultaneously, they are Kadosh. B'Zeh HaKazeh, B'Hedya Katani Law. Wait a minute. Zeh HaKazeh is already written explicitly in the Mishnah. There we said that the number 11 is not Mikudash in that case. Then we have Zeklau after that. So Zeklau le'etuye mai. Must become include something else besides the case where you were not okay in number 10. Lava le'etuye b'vat achat. Isn't it coming to tell us even the case of bat achat, it doesn't work? Meaning that it's against this view of Robo. Lo, le'etuye atza asiri below diber. When number 10 comes out and he's silent, Dalo Nekar Shema Siri Emenu. There, Shema Siri is not Nekar Mimenu, and number 11 will not be Kadosh. Dilo Te Maochi. If you don't say that, Hatanya, we have a brighter. Yetzu Shnai Ba Siri. If two go out at number 10 slot, Velo Kadam Echad Mehem Et Chavero, and neither of them was ahead of the other one, Karan Asiri, and he called them 10, Asiri Ve'echad Asai Mu'urvim Zeh Bazeh. You have now 10 and 11 mixed up together. They both become Kadosh. Ba'lo lo ne'akar shem Asiri Yemenu. Based on your thesis, Bad Achad doesn't work, then how do you explain this Braita? Why is number 11 Kadosh? Allah Mishum Darmin and Kol B'Bad Achad Tarvayu Kokodje. When you do it simultaneously, you are able to mekadesh them simultaneously, even though it wouldn't work. Bazeh Chazeh. So Gemara says, Imushum Ha Lo Yiria. If that's your question, I could get around that problem. One of them stuck its head out first. And they called it number 11. And then they got mixed together. And then they came out together. And he calls them number 10. Because number 10 he already ruined when he called it 11 in the outset. Create a case in the Braita where one of them stuck his head out, who would have been number 10, and you called that 11. Then they pulled his head back in, and then the two of them walk out together, and you called them 10. So in that case, Shema Siri was already Nekar when it stuck its head out, and you called it 11. Now when they both exit, you call them 10. One of them is 10, and one of them is 11, and now you have Akira with the 10. Where it says, Va'lo kadam ktani. The Brisa says, they didn't come out one before the other. They came out simultaneously. My lo kadam, dahadar i'aruf. What does it mean they didn't come out sequentially? It means that then it got mixed up. It's not that one of them didn't come out first. One of them did come out first, pulled back. Now they're mixed together. So that's why it's Lokadam. Lokadam is once they got mixed together. Uchman, and who is that like? Deloka Rabbi. Then that Braita would not be like Rabbi. The Rabbi says, Amar, Echadasar, Lo Avi Akira. If you call number 10, 11, that's not an Akira. Because 10 is Kadosh Me'elav. Calling it number 11 is not a form of Akira. But rather, you have to call it 9 in order for it to be an Akira. 11 is not an Akira. So, filu teima Rabbi. Maybe even according to Rabbi. Kiyama Rabbi echidi lebe mot tuva. That's only when he has a lot of animals. Damre echadi sura kamar. Because then I interpret it as 11. Not to mean 11, but I think it means this is the first miser of the lot that's coming out. The first tenth that's coming out. But in a case where there aren't a lot of behemot, since he doesn't have a lot of behemot, it's not going to work over here because you can't give that explanation. It's not the first of the meiser that's going to come out. It's the only meiser that's going to come out. And then you can't reinterpret 11 to mean the first 10 rather than 11. Now the truth is, the Braita, you could have explained by having the one that stuck its head out be called number 9, and then that would have solved your problem. So the Miuchas the Rashi says that the Gemara didn't do that. If he called that one that stuck his head out number 9, Lo yistrik the midnight, avadei akira havi. That's definitely an akira. But bechadasar polig rabbi. But when you call the sakzera 11, there we have a machlok between rabbi and rabbi Yosef and rabbi Yehuda. And that's why the Braita is doing that to show you or trying to demonstrate to you the halacha is that there is akira over here. Whereas by 9 it would be obvious. The other hand, Rashi Ktavyad says the reason it didn't use number 9 is then number 10 would automatically be 10 afterwards. He says, the reason, then according to everyone to be Akira, halokasha, the whole Bikari Tet, too low Havi Akira. since you called number 9, 9, there's no akira. As kari the yud set, and then you call number 10, 9, the trey zimne tet bab kumo, because when you say 9 and 9 again, that doesn't work. So when you call number 9, 9, and then you call number 10, 9, that's not meaningful. Number 10 is automatically number 10 after number 9. That is Rashi Taviad Lishitato, who said before that when you have number 9, you have to be shatak. You have to be silent about number 9, because if you say number 9, 10 would automatically be kadosh, and then there's nothing to discuss. And that's why the Gemara before says that it has to be a case, the shatak bitshi, that he was silent, literally silent. So Rashi in the Taviad Lishitato says that had you said 9 over here for the one that stuck its head out, it would be meaningless, because you already counted number 9, and this would be 10 automatically. Similar to his pshat before, where we explain the position of Rav Elazar Rebbe Shimon. According to the Yuchas Rashi, which sounds very similar to the first view brought in the Bali Tosafot, if you had called number 9, 9, and then number 10, 9, it would have been an akira, and there'd be nothing to discuss. The reason the Bright is discussing 11 is because there's controversy surrounding 11, Machlok between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. My Rabbi, where is Rabbi found? The Tanya, Korola Siri Achadasar Lachadasar Siri. He calls number 10, 11, and number 11, 10, Ein Achadasar Kadosh, Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says that number 11 is not Kadosh, because there was no Akira over here. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudah Amer, Achadasar Kadosh, because it is an Akira. Kalal Amar Rabbi, calls Manchalun Nekar Shema Siri Amenu, Ein Achadasar Kadosh. Anytime number 10 wasn't undermined, or the Kadosh of number 10 was not undermined, number 11 is not kadosh. And then we qualify that machlok between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Yehuda with the following statement of Rava. Am Rava b'akamai eskina going to itlei be'emot tuva. That's only when he has a lot of animals. Damrinan, because we interpret his number 11 as chadisura kamar. It's the first tenth. It's the first maaser to come out. And that's how we interpret the 11. And therefore we don't view it as an akira. That's the view of Rabbi. So therefore we could explain the breita, even according to Rabbi. And of course, according to Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, in this unusual manner where number 10 stuck its head out, you called it 11, and that was an akira, and then they came out afterwards simultaneously, 10 and 11, you called them 10. So that would be the case in the Braita. But the simple reading of the Braita is supportive of Rava's contention that whenever it's Bevat Achat, you are able to be Mekadesh 10 and 11, even though there was no akira for number 10. And that's the simple reading of the Braita, even though, again, from the Braita, you could read it a different way and not bring a proof, but nevertheless, we have a way to explain our Mishnah and the Zeh Klal in our Mishnah so that it's not a question against Rava's position by saying it's exclude the case of where he didn't say anything. He was silent in number 10. Silence by number 10 is automatically kadosh. It's if it's not Nekar, and therefore number 11 is not going to be kadosh. And that's the two cases in our Mishnah. One case in the Mishnah where he called 10, 10, and a case didn't say anything about 10, and it went out as number 10, then called 11, 10. That doesn't work as an akira. And so, both of those cases, number 11 will not be kadosh according to Rava. When he does it bevat achat, they will be kadosh. And we had the challenge from Avashi. And again, we dismiss the challenge. We bring a braita that's seemingly supportive of Rava's contention. And Avashi says, the braita I could explain even without Rava's contention. And even though that's a difficult explanation, it just makes it that the braita is not a proof to him. But not necessarily that if we have a problem with Rava's position, that seems to be the way the Gemara ends, which is, that Rava's contention is correct, that when you have Bevat Achat, you can't be Mekadesh it, even though there was no Akira of number 10. Okay, we're going to stop here, two lines from the bottom of Samach Amud Bet.